next guest, a proud Mayo man, recently won the Gerald Griffin competition for first original adult fiction with his novel On the Way Out. That's the title, On the Way Out. But he's probably best known for his work as a broadcaster and also a sports writer. He held the job of Gaelic Games correspondent with the Irish Independent newspaper between 1995 and 2000. But he's been doing so much career-wise since then. And I'm delighted to welcome Liam Horne onto the show this morning. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Thank you for that introduction.
And thank you indeed for being with us. And I was just thinking there, your career in journalism, starting out with provincial newspapers and then the big move to the Irish Independent. And that was a big step for you at the time. You had then, and I'm sure you still have, a passion for sport and more so Gaelic Games. So you get the top job in the Indo, and you were immersed in that, I know, for 5 years, and then no more. You moved away. Why?
Out the gap. Well, I suppose, yeah, I did 5 years and really enjoyed it. It probably would have been, growing up, my dream job to a certain extent, given that I was interested in journalism, as you said, Gaelic Games. And I did 5 years of it and enjoyed it greatly. But I think there's probably something in me that likes doing rather than observing, if you know what I mean. And journalism can be quite vicarious. You can be a spectator quite a lot. And actually, you discover after doing like five All-Ireland campaigns and hurling and football, that in some ways it becomes very same as work, actually, ironically. You know what I mean? That the losers say the same things and the winners say the same things and everybody wrote us off and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. I had 5 years done, and to be honest, I just said I had enough of it. I wanted to do something different, and I made a very, very dramatic career change. I went into becoming the chief executive of Lake District Enterprise Limited, which was promoting rurals or cultural and social and economic development around my home area and Ballinrobe, around the region that you'd know very well. As you said, from then I've done lots of different things since then. I've set up and run my own business for 15 years. I've dabbled in journalism since that. I've just gone back to college to do a master's in creative writing, just finished that. So I probably am somebody who likes change. Change has never bothered me. I think we need a lot of change in our lives. And you'll hear lots of people saying now that the young people of today will change careers on multiple occasions throughout their lives. And I think that's a good thing by and large, though it's not a prescription for everybody.
Does the word insecure ever form part of your vocabulary? I mean, here you are, safe, pensionable, high profile, I take it, well-paid job, walking away, and then you go into something else, and then you go into something else. And then, talk about confidence, at the age of 55, you go back to school.
I didn't do a whole pile of time in school my first time out. So my full-time education finished at the age of 18, would you believe? So back to college was a part-time thing. So the Master's in Creative Writing at UL is available full-time over 1 year or part-time over 2 years. So I was able to stay working while doing that, thanks hugely to the support of my employers, the Western Development Commission, and Stephen Carroll, my boss. I better give him a good plug there. Mm-hmm. But for something that would have always been interested me, more fiction writing, that kind of thing. And actually, a very important factor is with new roads. So from Ballinrobe, where I live, to Limerick, is actually quite a pleasant journey now, whereas one time it was a bit of a battle. Once you get to Tuam, all the way to the college, more or less, around a motorway. So that was a huge factor, pragmatic factor. But yeah, I wasn't the oldest in the class, by the way, although the one guy that was older than me was retired, so he probably had a bit more time than me. But I just think life is for living. I mean, I think life is for living and having different things to do, trying different things. You know, people often talk about, is there life after death? I often ask, is there life before death? You know what I mean? Like, well, we're going to keep challenging ourselves and trying new things and enjoying things. So all of that is something I'm quite comfortable with. And even now, as in my late 50s, I still have that sense of, you know, try something different. And I hope I never lose that.
Right. But there's one thing for sure. I've known you for many, many years now. You're a rural man from head to toe. Every strand in your body has a rural element to it. And therefore, I'm not surprised that with the novel, it's set in a rural setting, and it has, again, that word rural written all over it.
Yeah, I suppose I should clarify, I'm a townie rural as well too, so I'm
Ballinro was as rural as you'll get, and I say that with the utmost respect. Go on.
Yes, but I'm no addition to the farming community around here, put it that way. Never called out on those missions. But I like small town. I mean, I'm one of those people who, for example, enjoys the second half of the GAA year as much as the first half, you know, and lots of people do, the club games, all of that. I love all of that, and as much as I love the intercounty stuff. But yeah, I'm fascinated by small towns. It's where I've spent most of my life. You know, what goes on in a small town? What are the dynamics? One of the things I always question is, you know, and we've all used it in the media, the tightly knit community. You know, I think maybe lots of communities are quite loosely knit in many ways, but they come together for major moments, but kind of lots of division as well. So, for example, you and I could be totally together on the GA club, but we could be totally opposed to each other on the bypass or on the rural, on the group water scheme. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of nuance I like, which is that to portray any group of people as being totally in sync on everything is very simplistic. So one of the things I wanted to do when writing this book was to make the town of Rathfinn, which is the fictional town at the heart of this book, a very real character, and its own ups and downs, its own one street against another kind of stuff, one shop against another, one person against another. And sometimes, though not exclusively, towns are a backdrop, whereas I wanted to make my town a character. And that by the end of the book, I hope people are as concerned about what happens to the town of Rathfinn as what happens to two animate characters of Matt and Louise. And what, you know, they might be wondering where do all of those go to next, including the town.
Yeah, I'm being bold here, though. You talk about animate characters and you talk about the town of Rathfinn. Come on, there has to be a link to your own upbringing. Am I being facetious when I say that?
You might be, but you might be right as well. There is. Of course there is. You're very influenced by your own town. You know.
Yeah, and, because there was a line you sent to me, and I just picked this one out, where you said, the book will also deal with the unspoken rules of rural places. That's a loaded statement, Liam Horan.
Yeah, I think in small towns and in maybe in all communities, we get by in a kind of a shadowy way in some ways. We get by not shining light into every corner. We get by knowing, you know, who's the person can do A, but certainly wouldn't do B. You know what I mean? How you advance something like a project to develop the GA club or something like that. So I think it always fascinates me. For example, when you look in, we'll say, let's take St. Bridget's now, the kind of club champions, a club I would be familiar with. But, you know, within that club, there are all sorts of groups of people who are tight on one thing, not tight on another thing, as there are in every club. Yet, you know, when they're going well, they'll be portrayed as this homogenous, absolutely in lockstep together group of people. And they are right now, and the best you look at them in the All-Ireland series. But every community of people, be it a town, a club, a workplace, has all sorts of unspoken rules that, you know, that people observe and learn to observe. Because if you didn't, there'd be anarchy and nothing would ever get done, and we'd all stop dead in our tracks. So that kind of thing interests me. The notion that, you know, I've been in committees where, as I said, I'd be totally in line with person A on one topic, and then the next night we could be at loggerheads over another topic, and yet life goes by and life gets on. Because I think ultimately, when you do live kind of cheek by jowl with people, a certain respect and understanding does develop among people as well, even though they might be opposed on some things and together on other things, you know.
Yeah. And the book itself, a novel, as I said, I take it, given your love for the pen, love for writing, it was always part of the plan. It was just about getting around to it, was it?
Well, I've written like creative stuff, short stories and radio essays over the years, but I did have a block. I did have a big barrier when it came to writing a novel, possibly because, and you'd be aware of this as well, journalistically, you are conditioned to write maybe no more than 3,000 words. You sort of, you know, you assemble your thoughts, you rise and fall in that 3,000 words. Whereas I had a big barrier about how do you thread together a story over 30,000 words, 40,000 words. So you can't do it the way you write a newspaper article, because you give it all away too early. So that whole structure of how you give enough to keep the story going, but not so much that you give the story away, was a barrier for me. In fact, it's the reason I went back to do, and when I applied to do the master's in UL in creative writing, that was the reason why I went back, was to learn how to do that. How do you actually give a bit, hold back a bit, suggest a bit, keep the reader, you can't mess around with the reader, but keep the reader wondering what might happen next. And I wonder what that exactly means, leaving a bit of ambiguity. So it was a big barrier for me. And I'd say lots of journalists might have the same barrier because, as I said, we're conditioned to go that 3,000 word distance and no more, you know?
I was reading, as the Yanks would say, I was reading the commendation last night from the organizers of the Gerald Griffin competition. And based on what you're just after telling me there and trying to knit all of this together and put it all together, you nailed it as far as they're concerned. And that's why they gave you this award.
Yeah, well, the Gerald Griffin Award is for unpublished novels. It's a great competition because the way it works is you submit 2,500 words by mid-January. If you get shortlisted into a group of 10 and you shortlist, you submit another 10,000 words somewhere along the way. And then you must submit your final words, and you're being mentored as well. You submit your final document by the 31st of July. So I was delighted to win it because, as I said, that was why I went back to college, was to learn how to write a novel. So even achieving the novel, if I didn't win the award, was a huge boost. But winning is always better than losing, as you know.
Absolutely. And it's out now. Is it generally available in all the bookstores? And is it self-published, Liam?
No. So the Limerick Writers' Centre, under their imprint, Savoy Edition, they published the book. That's the prize for actually winning the competition, is they published the book. So it's on sale in bookshops in Mayo and Galway. It's on sale in bookshops in Limerick, and online then for everybody else, liamhoran.info. So we try to cover as much as we can. Savoy Editions are a relatively small publisher, and that's a whole other world as well, trying to crack full national or international circulation, as you know.
That's a major challenge in itself. So for people in this part of the world, liamhoran.info. Now, I know you have your finger on the pulse. I know you have your ear to the ground. Is this our year? 2026.
Are we talking in lodge here now, Joe?
We have a new manager, we have a new team.
well sort of. Certainly Andy won't lack for drive and enthusiasm and all of that, and he's already brought a lot of that. So hopefully, I do think there are a lot of good footballers coming through in Mayo. I know one great one is going to Australia. He's a huge loss. But there are lots of other good footballers as well coming through in Mayo, and hopefully they'll all come together, you know. So it would be fantastic, but we've a long way to go yet.
Absolutely. Look, we'll leave it at that. Liam Horan, good luck with the novel. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And once again, if you want to get your hands on it, just go to liamhoran.info. And that's probably the best way for you to do so at this moment in time. 087 1200 900 is our text and WhatsApp number. The landline number today, it's 0818